Welcome to Beside the Burn for Monday, the 18th of January. It's the beginning of a new week and also the beginning of a new theme in Beside the Burn. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at this idea of lamenting that we began yesterday in our Sunday service. And if you haven't listened to the message from Sunday, you can do so at the link below just to catch up. And we're looking at this idea of when storm clouds gather, what do we do? When there's trouble, when there's difficulty, when there's distress, how do we react to that? And we see how the world reacts in that they protest, they gather together, they complain. But what do we as Christians do? Because it's not always a dignified thing to be walking about carrying placards and to be joining in with what the world's doing. Perhaps there's something different. And that something different is the idea of lamenting. And what is lamenting? Well, lamenting is crying out. Crying out in despair, crying out because we care about something. And as we're going to see today, and indeed the rest of this week, whenever the storm clouds gather, we are to turn to God. And that's the first step in true lament. And today we're looking at Psalm 77, as we're going to be doing throughout the whole week. And today we're going to look at the first two verses. And these first two verses really sum up cry out to God. So what is lament? Well, lament is crying out. Crying's not something that we need to be taught. It's probably the first thing that we do whenever we emerge from the womb, we cry. But crying out to God is different because that's not something that we do naturally. Sometimes we think that we shouldn't cry out to God, that we shouldn't complain to God, that we should just accept everything that happens. And one author has said, to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. And whenever we lament, we turn to God and we cry out to God. Everything that we do is directed towards God. There are many who will just simply cry aimlessly, who will cry in vain, but that's not what lament is all about. Lament is a prayer in pain that leads to trust. So if you are in pain today, whether it is a huge pain that is debilitating and you cannot just get on with life, or whether it's a small pain that just eats away at your heart every now and again, the solution to those things is to lament and to turn to God and to cry out to God. Lament, I suppose, really asks a couple of questions. We ask, where are you, God? In the midst of everything that I'm going through, where are you, God? And then it also asks, if you love me, why is this happening to me? Why am I going through this pain? Why do I have to face this? And maybe you've asked similar questions during your life as well. And whenever we lament, lament is actually a form of praise. We might think that it's the opposite of praise, because praise is joyfully coming before God and raising his name on high. Whereas surely lament's the opposite of that, where we don't thank God. But lament is a form of praise because we're turning to God. We're coming to God with our thoughts and our concerns, and we know that he's listening to us. And praise does not always have to be joyful. Praise is coming to God, worship is coming to God and honouring him. And so lament is part of that worship. Whenever we come to lament, we're going to see this over the next few weeks. The first step of coming to God in lament is to turn to God. That's step number one. Over the next few weeks, we'll see next week that we complain, the following week that we make a request, and then the fourth week that we trust in God. And that's the stages of lament. We turn to God, we complain to him, we ask him, and then we trust in him. And whenever we do those things, then we find help in this whole process of lament. What we'll also find is that there are many psalms of lament. In fact, about a third of the psalms are laments. They are laments on a personal nature, where the psalmist is lamenting what has happened to him personally, but then also a corporate process as well, where the psalmist is lamenting what is happening to the nation. And we can come with both types of lament to God, where we are lamenting what's going on in the world around us, but then also on a personal nature as well. And as I say, about a third of the Psalms are laments, so there is lots for us to read there and lots for us to find out as we look at these Psalms. So let's just briefly look at verses 1 to 2 today and see what God is saying to us as the psalmist begins this lament of turning to God and crying out to God. And here we see it in the very first line. I cried out to God for help. And that really sets up what a lament is all about. We have a part to play. We cry out. We don't just cry out aimlessly. We do it to God. And the whole purpose of that is to find help in God. I cried out to God to hear me. That's how help comes, whenever God hears us and then acts upon what he hears. And that's a very important concept. Whenever we hear in the Bible, whenever we read that God hears us, that's not just the way that we hear things. We hear something and then we can quickly forget it or don't do anything about it. When God hears it, that means he has heard the cry, he's understood the cry, and he is now acting upon the cry. We don't need any more than this idea of God hearing. We don't need another line that says, well, this is what God is doing, because we know that he's doing something whenever he hears. And the psalmist goes on, when I was in distress, and the distress is the reason he's coming in lament to God, I sought the Lord. He turns to God. And this is important. There are so many who, whenever they face distress, turn away from God, reject God, because they think, well, if God really loved me, this wouldn't be happening. But that's not the case. God loves us, and so therefore he will help us through whatever happens to us. And the psalmist goes on to say, at night I stretched out my untiring hands. He can't find sleep. He's trying to sleep. He's trying to rest, but he just can't find it. And so his hands, they're just not going to sleep. He's not able to rest at all. And he is lamenting. He's crying out to God. He is looking to God to help him and to be near to him. And these prayers of lament take faith. It takes faith to cry out to God and to turn to him in the midst of our distress. If we've no faith, then we'll not turn to God. But if we have faith, even in the most difficult times of distress, then we will turn to God. And that's an expression of our faith. So sometimes we might think of lament as something very negative, but it's actually very positive. We lament what is going on around us. We lament our situation. And because we have faith in God, it's to God we turn. So that's what we're going to be looking at the rest of this week. We're going to look at Psalm 77. We're going to look at the rest of the verses in it and find out how the psalmist works through the psalm of lament and how he comes to God and knows God. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who listens to us when we cry out for help. You are the God who hears. Even when we are in distress, you listen and you act upon what we say to you. Lord, help us in our times of distress to turn to you and to find help in you. Help us to trust you, Lord. And help us this day, Lord, that whatever causes us concern, help us to frame it in a lament, Lord, that we cry out to you because you are the only one who listens and you are the only one who is able to answer. Lord, thank you and praise you this day that you're a God who is with us through every stage of life. For we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Tuesday, the 19th of January. We're continuing with our theme of lament. When storm clouds gather, turn to God. And today, as we continue looking at Psalm 77, we're coming to verses 2 to 4, and we're going to see this idea of pray your struggles. Whenever I've introduced this idea of lament, perhaps you've been thinking to yourself, well, this is the solution. This is what I have been looking for, that whenever I've got problems, here is a simple way to solve those problems and to get through them. That, however, is not exactly the case, because this is not a simple formula where we do this and this and this and then everything's okay at the end. Lament is a way for us to work through our problems in a good way, in a way that's helpful and constructive, but sometimes the journey is difficult and long. For example, yesterday we started off with this idea of lament, turning to God, cry out to God. And today we're going to think about this idea of praying your struggles. Because whenever we cry out to God, things do not just suddenly work out the way that we want them to. Lament does not always lead to an immediate solution. It doesn't always bring about a quick and a timely answer. Because we cannot tame our grief. Grief is handled in different ways by different people. And lament is not a simplistic formula. Instead, lament is a song that we sing. It's a prayer that we offer. And we offer it in trust, knowing that God is listening, but knowing that it will not always result in an answer immediately. So let's look at the second half of verse 2 and then into verses 3 and 4. And here the psalmist is continuing what he's saying, and he says, "And my soul refused to be comforted." In the first couple of verses, he was saying how he was crying out to God, how God was hearing him. But even though that was happening, he then honestly says, "My soul refused to be comforted." At a time whenever we might say, well, look, here's the solution. You turn to God and then everything's okay. The psalmist says, no, that's not the case. I didn't get any comfort. I was still struggling. He says, I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. You would expect it to say, I remembered God. I remembered the things about God, and suddenly my soul was lifted and everything was okay. But no. The result is more groaning because he's crying out to God in the midst of his grief and distress. He then goes on, just in case there's any doubt as to what is happening here, he goes on to say, I mused and my spirit was lifted. No, my spirit grew faint. This is maybe the opposite of what we were expecting. Oh, lament is a good thing to do. Yes, it's a good thing to do, but it will be a struggle. So don't go into lament and turning to God thinking that suddenly there'll be a click of the fingers and everything will be okay. Go into it realizing that this is a difficult journey, but it's a journey worth taking. And then we've got this little word, Selah, which we don't often say whenever we're reading the Psalms. It's sort of a direction, that it's a pause in the proceedings. It's a time to reflect and a time to think. And having thought about these things and mused about them a little bit more, and his spirit has grown faint, he then goes on to say, you kept my eyes from closing. He's not able to find any peace here. He's not able to find any rest or any sleep. And the reason is that God is keeping him awake. And he says, I was too troubled to speak. It got to the stage where he could hardly talk about what was going on because he was so troubled by it. Now, this may be a disappointment to us that lament does not fix things immediately. But at the same time, it's also a comfort to us because whenever we are struggling, God understands that we're struggling. It's not here that God has left the psalmist. God is with the psalmist and is helping him through all these stages, is helping him through this difficulty that he's facing. God hasn't abandoned him, even though his eyes won't close and his spirit is growing faint and he is groaning. God is right in the midst of this, and God will be with him. So as we pray this prayer of lament, as we sing this song of grief, We come believing that God is the answer, and that the God who is with us through all of this difficulty will bring us out the other side and will help us. He's the God who is standing on the firm rock and is reaching down to lift us up and plant our feet on the firm rock. He is the God who will give us purpose and will give us help. He's the God who will direct us through the seeming maze of grief and will show us the way out at the end. And so he is the God who is to be trusted. And therefore, we come to him today and we pray our struggles to him. And we keep praying our struggles. This is not just a simple two-verse thing that we do and everything's fine. This is praying and continuing to pray and continuing to turn to God. And as we express our thoughts and our feelings, we keep turning to God time and time again, knowing that God will lead us through. There's lots more to learn about lament as we carry through this psalm and as we carry through this series, but let's turn to God now and thank him. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we may still be groaning and our hearts may still feel faint at the distress and the sorrow and the grief that we feel. But Lord, we have hope that you are listening and that you will not leave us. And Lord, no matter how difficult this journey may be, help us to trust you and help us to seek out you at all times, that our hope and our faith and our trust will be found in you. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Wednesday, the 20th of January. It's the third day of our investigation into this whole area of lamenting before God. And we've been saying this week that whenever we've got a problem, whenever we are suffering or in pain, there are many options as to how to deal with that. But the Christian response is to come to God in lament. And lament will help us work through these issues that we face. And today we're considering the idea of when storm clouds gather, we turn to God. And today is all about praying our questions before God. You see, whenever we go through a time of suffering in our lives, that pain and distress brings questions to mind. Questions that perhaps we have forgotten about, or we've suppressed, or we haven't thought about very much in the past, suddenly come to the forefront of our minds whenever we're suffering. And the psalmist here is wrestling with the idea of, why isn't God doing more than he's doing? Why isn't God helping me in this distress? Because the psalmist recognizes that God can do anything. He recognizes that God could deal with this problem in a moment. And yet for some reason, he's still going through this time of pain. So why isn't God doing more? And he begins to think about his life and consider what's happened in the past and try to work out what is going on right now. So let's turn to Psalm 77 again and verse 5 and 6. And here the psalmist says, I thought about the former days. So he's going back and he's looking at things that have gone on in the past, the years of long ago, he says. And he's thinking about how God has dealt with him in the past and what his experience of God is. He says, I remembered my songs in the night, and my heart mused and my spirit inquired. And he remembers at these times that in the past he's been able to question God. He's been able to talk with God and know that God is with him and helping him throughout this whole process. And as he remembers the songs that he has sung in the night, and as he muses about the things that his spirit has inquired about, The psalmist has a number of questions that he wants to bring to God. And these are questions that are deep within his soul. And because of the pain and the suffering, he's wanting to find answers to these things. Most of the time, he can live life quite happily without these answers. But in this time of distress, he's questioning everything. So from verse 7 to 9, we've got six questions here that the psalmist asks. And they are big questions to ask of God. Number one, will the Lord reject forever? The psalmist here obviously feels as if he's been rejected by God. His life isn't going the way that he is expecting it to go, and he assumes that God has rejected him and left him. How long is this going to go on for? Is God going to come back and take me again? Second, will he never show his favor again? This is obviously a time of distress, and the psalmist is thinking, will I ever know God's blessing in my life again? Or is this the way that it's going to be forever and ever? Number three, has his unfailing love vanished forever? We know that God loves us, and he loves us unconditionally, and he keeps loving us, and he's demonstrated that love for us. But has it gone? The problems that I'm facing in life, has that love just disappeared? These are honest questions that are being asked. Number four, has his promise failed for all time? And again, it just seems as though all these things have gone and they're not coming back again. Number five, has God forgotten to be merciful? It's a simple question, but it's a deep question. Whenever we go through these periods of trial, has God forgotten to be merciful? In the past, he's been merciful. He's shown us grace. But now, has he got too busy? Is he off doing something else? Has he forgotten about us? Number six, has he in anger withheld his compassion? Sometimes it feels as though God is angry with us for something that we've done, and therefore he's not showing the same compassion that he's shown in the past. Is this what's happening here? Will God's anger relent? Will compassion return? It is so hard to know, but the psalmist comes and he asks these questions. Now, does the psalmist really believe each one of these questions? Does he believe that God has rejected him? Does he believe that he's no longer experiencing compassion? Well, he may well do, but probably the psalmist realizes that God doesn't reject, and he does realize that God continues to show his favor, and deep down he knows each of these things, but that doesn't lessen the reality at this point in his life that this is the way he feels. And he thinks that the best option is to confront God with this and ask him outright, God, is this what is happening? And this is a good thing for us to do, because the psalmist here is doing it in this prayer of lament. And he's coming to God, and he wants to find answers to what he has here. He wants to know. He wants to be reassured of who God is and the way God has dealt with him in the past. And the only way to find that reassurance and to know for certain is to trust in God and to bring our questions to him, because we've already said God hears us when we pray and he answers our prayers. So each one of these questions will be answered. And you can almost imagine the psalmist, and we're going to see this later on, but you can imagine him as he asks each one of these questions, God saying to him, really? Is that what you think? And the psalmist says to himself, well, no, it's not what I think. It's just what I feel at the moment. Will the Lord reject forever? And God says, really? Do you think that's what I'm going to do? And the psalmist goes, no. No, I know you don't reject forever. I've asked the question and I've answered it. Will he never show us favour again? And God says, really? You think I'm not going to show favour? And the psalmist says, oh, of course you're going to show favour. Of course you're going to be gracious again. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? And God says, vanished? Really? My love? The love that sent Jesus Christ to die for you? You think it's gone? And the psalmist thinks, no, can't go. It has to be there. And you can say that with each one of these questions, but it has been good to ask the question because then we find the answer. So today is about being honest with God, coming with questions that arise out of our pain and suffering and distress, and saying plainly to God, is this what is happening? So let's bow before him. Heavenly Father, we come with our questions before you today as we lament. And we thank you, Lord, that we can be honest and that nothing is too honest to bring before you. You don't push us aside and tell us to be careful about what we're saying or about how we phrase things. You listen when we're honest and you don't take offense, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that as we bring our honest questions to you, you hear us and you answer those questions. So, Lord, be with us today, we pray, and help us in everything that we do, that as we bring the questions, may we find answers in your name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Thursday, the 21st of January. This week, we're considering when storm clouds gather, what should we do? And as we're thinking about the whole area of lamenting and prayer before God, this week, our theme is turning to God. And today, as we continue looking at Psalm 77, we reach verses 10 to 14, and we're going to see that this is the turning point in the psalm. And therefore, prayer turns us around today. What happens whenever we lament is that we come honestly before God. We first of all turn our attention to God, and then we cry out to God. We question God honestly. And as we do that, as we saw yesterday, we begin to turn around towards God and look at things from his perspective and realize what God is doing. And we find that within the psalm. So let's look at verses 10 to 14 and find out what God is saying to us today as we lament. And the whole psalm really pivots around this first word today, the word then. Because up to this point, the psalmist has certainly turned to God, but he hasn't found much help. He's been asking questions. He's been distressed and disturbed. He's obviously been suffering and in pain. Then, he says, turns everything around for him. Now, it doesn't happen immediately, but it is happening gradually, and he is realizing that something is different. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. And he begins to think about the things of God and what God has done in the past. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember. What is it that he's going to remember? Well, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. He's going to take time now, having questioned God and asked all these questions about God's compassion and his mercy and whether his favour is continuing or not. He now says, well, now I'm going to think about these things. I'm going to remember all that God has done in the past. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. So he's thinking through what God has done and how those actions of God apply to the here and now in his life. So he's remembering, and it's mentioned twice there within the one verse. Then he says, I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. So the psalmist here is actively searching for an answer to his lament. He's remembering. He's meditating. He's considering. It's not just that he's quickly gone through what God has done in the past. He's taking time to think about it, to consider it, to look deeply at these things, to question how God has acted in the past and how it changes what God is doing now. Or he remembers what God has done before, and that impacts the way that he views God now. Well, if God has done this in the past, then perhaps he can do something similar now. That there's more to following God than just this distress and this pain. And so everything shifts at this stage, and everything turns around. And here we begin to see the conclusions that he's coming to, the positivity. Somebody commented on Sunday that they often viewed lament as negative, but we were actually seeing how lament can be very positive. And I think lament down through the years has been seen as negative. We have just heard this word lament, and it sounds like something dreary and dull that's done. It's just a pointless complaining. But there's positivity in lament. Lament leads us closer to God. Yes, it comes from distress and suffering. Yes, it is born out of problems. But it's not just vainly crying out in the hope that somebody might change something. It's coming to the one who controls everything and asking him to do something about it. So it's very positive. And here we see the psalmist, after that word then, he asks a wonderful question in verse 13. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? What God is so great as our God? It's a rhetorical question, but the answer is quite simple. No God. There is no other God. There is nobody else who is as great as our God. And we need to remember that. Whenever we're tempted to reject our God, well, who are we going to reject him for? Are we going to reject him for something else? There's no point, because whatever else we take in God's place is not as great as he is. If we rely upon our own resources, they're not as great as God's resources. If we rely upon our friends, they're not as great as God. If we rely upon our job and our standing, it's not as great as God is. What God is so great as our God? None. None. This is the turning point. This is where the psalm changes direction completely. And the psalmist is able to continue. You are the God who performs miracles. You. He is talking to the God who performs miracles. This is not just somebody that he's reading about in history. This is somebody that he's talking to right now. You, God, the one I've just complained to, the one I've just asked all these questions of, you are actually the one who performs miracles. You can do anything. You display, you again, your power among the peoples. This is not a God who remains hidden, but this is a God who carries out his work in plain view. People, if they look, can see what God is doing and can see the types of things he is at. His miracles, his power, they're there for people to see. Many times people choose not to see them or choose to explain it in some other way. But this God that we worship can be trusted. And really, lament is only possible if we believe that God is truly good. We can only come and lament if we acknowledge that this is a good God that we worship, and that good will come out of our time with him. Lament, if you like, is how we learn to live between two extremes. How we live between the fact that God is a good God, and yet life can be hard at times. And sometimes those two facts drive people away. But really, those two facts should bring us closer to God. Life is hard and difficult at times, but God is good and he will be with us and he will keep us. We are to believe in God, and that is why we come in lament. Hurting people, whenever they come and lament, are given permission to grieve, as it were. But it's not an aimless or selfish grieving process. It is a process that turns to God and trusts in him. So let's talk to God now in prayer together, and let us experience this turnaround as we realise what God has done and how great his miracles are. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what God is so great as you are? We recognise, Lord, that there is no one who is like you. You, Lord, you are the God, the one that we are speaking to now. You are the God who performs miracles, and you display your power among the peoples. And therefore, Lord, we trust in you. Lord, sometimes life can be difficult. Sometimes we have problems that we can't seem to get over, or there are obstacles in the way that we can't find a solution to. But Lord, thank you for prayer and lament, that we can come and grieve before you and acknowledge that you are in control. And therefore, Lord, we bring our requests to you today, and we trust in you. And we rely that you are the one who is able to do all these things. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Beside the Burn for Friday, the 22nd of January. We are working our way through Psalm 77 this week, and today we reach the end of the psalm, verses 15 to 20. And we've been watching on as the psalmist has come to God in lament. And when the storm clouds gather, he turns to God and finds help in God. But today the psalm takes a different turn at the end. And we're going to find that at the end of our lament, we're to pray the gospel. We're to look to God and find redemption and salvation in him. And that's what we find in these final few verses. The psalmist begins by talking again and continuing on with what he's been saying about how great God is. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob, Joseph. So here the psalmist is just remembering, well, look, I've gone through this troubled time. I'm suffering at the moment. I'm in pain and distress. But you, Lord, are mighty. You've a mighty arm. And because you're mighty and powerful, in the past you have redeemed your people. You redeemed Jacob and Joseph. Now, what does that look like? What does God's redemption look like in the past? Well, the psalmist begins to recount how God has saved his people in the past. The psalmist has had questions, but now he's answering those questions by declaring the salvation, the redemption that God brings. And he goes back to a time when Jacob and Joseph were rescued, as it were, from Egypt and the slavery. The whole nation of Israel was set free from slavery. And you remember how that came about through the plagues and then through the Passover feast, and how they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And whenever they left Egypt, they all of a sudden it looked as though they were going to be captured and destroyed whenever they came to the Red Sea. And yet God was able to open up the Red Sea and allow them to walk through. And that was the great moment of deliverance for the children of Israel. And here we see the psalmist recounting that. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. Here the psalmist is recounting how God led them through the sea, through the mighty waters, and even though nobody could see his footprints, they knew that God was with them. It was God that had done this. It was God who had brought them through and rescued them. And in the very last verse, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the way God has brought salvation and redemption. This was the greatest moment for Israel. And of course, as we think about our redemption and our salvation, it causes us to turn to the cross and to remember what God has done on the cross. And that is where lament should logically lead us to. That we think about the salvation that comes about through our God. That even in the midst of our suffering and pain, we have one who suffered on our behalf. We have one who went to the cross and died on the cross, but then rose again so that we might have victory and so that we might have eternal life. And as the psalmist recounts what happened to Israel being set free from Egypt, so at the end of our laments, we should be recounting what has happened when God set us free in sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And that is a wonderful position to reach the point where we are remembering the salvation that God alone brings us. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul recounts a lament. He recounts a lament from Psalm 44 before proclaiming to us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And you may remember in Romans 8, verse 36 and following, that's where Paul says this: "For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." That is the lament of Paul. This is how life is, the suffering that comes about. But Paul then remembers the gospel and prays the gospel. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is the gospel. That is the good news. That is where lament leads us to. So lament is not negative. Lament is very, very positive as we recount what God has done for us. And so you see, it takes faith to be able to pray in lament. It takes trust in God to be able to come to him and openly accuse him and question him and yet trust him fully and accept him fully. Sometimes whenever we're going through pain and suffering, we don't always have the words that we need to be able to express what is deep within our souls. Maybe some tragedy has come upon us, or it may just be something small that is niggling away at us and we just can't quite put it into words. That's where the Psalms come in. A third of them are Psalms of lament. And we can use the words of the psalmist. We can take Psalm 77 that we've been reading all week and pray it ourselves. Maybe not every single little detail within the psalm fits our situation, but overall the sentiment of the psalm fits and helps us express what we're thinking. Just take your time and remember the words, consider the words, meditate upon the words. Let the lament do its work. Let the Holy Spirit do his work through the lament in your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to take this song of sorrow and lead you into a deeper relationship with God. Just keep wrestling, keep struggling, keep praying through it. Remember that as a human being, nobody has ever taught us to cry. But it comes naturally to us as Christians. As human beings, but lament should become natural to us as Christians, as a way to deal with all of our problems, as a way to work through them. So, as we finish this week, we've looked at lament from Psalm 77. On Sunday, we're going to look at another aspect of lament again, and then next week we're going to look at another psalm together each day. And if I were to say to you, look, we're going to spend a number of weeks lamenting, you might think to yourself, oh, well, this is just going to get a bit much. It's going to be a bit heavy. We could really do with something to lighten the load. I hope that today has lightened your load as you go away from this, thinking about the gospel, thinking about what Jesus Christ has done, and framing your lament in the thought of redemption and salvation. So let's come to God and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the redemption that we have through Jesus' death and resurrection. We look back, Lord, in the Old Testament and how you saved your people Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And we praise you, Lord, how you have saved us from slavery to sin and set us free. We thank you, Lord, for that Passover lamb in the Old Testament. And we thank you for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, dying in our place, accepting our punishment and offering us forgiveness today. Oh, Lord God, thank you and praise you. We praise you, Lord, that no matter what comes our way, we have the joy of your salvation. So, Lord, lift our spirits today, we pray. Help us, we ask. Set our feet on a firm place that we might trust in you and declare our trust in you. For, Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.